Councilmember Trevino?
Here.
Councilmember Villagran?
Here.
Councilmember Saldana?
Here.
And Councilmember Sandoval?
Here.
Mayor, we do have a quorum. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the City Council Governance Committee meeting of November 13th.
Okay, hopefully everyone has had a chance to read the minutes from November 13th. I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes. There's a motion and a second for approval of the City Council Governance Committee meeting minutes of November 13th. Any questions, concerns, clarifications? All right, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number two.
Item number two is a briefing and discussion of a council consideration request to review the City of San Antonio development regulations and their impact on economic development. And this will be presented by Mr. Shannon.
Okay. Hey, Mike.
Good afternoon, Mayor, council members. So I'm just here to talk about a council consideration request that was issued in November from Councilman Belias. Asked staff to look at and conduct a comprehensive review of our UDC Unified Development Code process and to determine the feasibility of requiring some economic impact analysis for each proposed UDC amendment. So just to step back a little bit, our UDC, the code says that it should get updated every 5 years. We know that there's some out-of-cycle amendments that happen as well. But in 2015, we looked at 260 amendments through almost a year-long process. We're getting geared up for that in 2020. The code requires that the amendments list out what they're trying to change, whether they're editing, clarifying, or actually an update. It does not currently require an economic impact statement or analysis for those proposed changes. There are organizations out there like the International Code Council that develop the building codes that we adopt. They have modified their process to include some language so that cost impact is addressed on each code change. So that might be something we want to look at. What we're really proposing today is that we move forward. We want to create kind of a stakeholder group, get together city staff from the various departments that deal with UDC amendments, the Development Services, TCI, etc. Development community, of course, citizens, neighborhood leaders, military, local school districts, really all of those that are involved with the UDC proposed change process, and to see what type of feasibility or what type of code changes we can include in the process so that we adequately look at cost impact for every code change. So that would be our recommendation to move to create that stakeholder group, and then whatever we determine through that, present to the appropriate subcommittee, which is the Comprehensive Plan Committee.
Thank you, Mike. The council member is here, Councilman Blythe, if you'd like to.
I wear ties to go see my probation officer and to come to the government, so I'm really happy that I got the best of off today. But thank you so much for taking this up. The CCR speaks for itself, and I think that all of you agree, and every one of the stakeholders I've spoken to agree that, you know, every once in a while, taking a look at what we do and how it costs third parties is a good idea. And that's Mike, thank you for your support. Cheryl, thanks to you and your team for getting behind this and supporting it and for agreeing with me this today. And that's it. I ask for
it. Okay, thank you, Councilman Wise. You look very sharp.
Thank you. That's a minute.
Yes.
Councilman Sandoval.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Belias, for your CCR. In my previous position at a regulatory agency, whenever we adopted a regulation, there was a cost and a benefit analysis with everything we adopted. We discussed who bore that cost as well, so I'm supportive of this, but I do want to make sure that the analysis includes the benefits, not only the costs, because I imagine when we make amendments, there's usually a benefit associated with them, otherwise we wouldn't consider them. So I think it's important to have the full picture. Thank you, Mayor.
Great. Thank you, Councilwoman Sandoval. Councilwoman Zegarra.
Yes, thank you, Councilmember Belias, for putting this forward. Glad to sign on, and thank you for wearing a suit to governance today. So where will this be up next for us?
So we will reach out to the stakeholder community to kind of, if I address, we'll put together a task force, however many meetings we have to have, and then it would go, we're asking for approval to then send it to the Comprehensive Planning Committee. They deal with most of our UDC amendments, so that's what we think is the appropriate committee to hear this, because eventually it would be a codified change. The process of the UDC changes is codified right up front, so we figure whatever we come up with will have to be added there.
Will you please, when you set these meetings with stakeholders and identify who these groups are, can you please just send a memo to us, the council members, so we know what the status is, what the progress is, as you're going through the way?
Absolutely, yep.
Thank you, Councilman Baker. I'm Councilman Trujillo.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say thank you, Manny, for the hard time. Design overlays are also impactful, and so will that be part of the study?
Right now, the proposal is to look at anything that could change the UDC. So anything that is a design overlay in the UDC, yes, would be in this mix. So we have to look at the cost and benefit impact of each one.
Okay, I think that's great. Great CCR, support my son. So good work, Manny, and support.
Thank you, Councilman Trujillo. Mike, just really quickly, a true cost-benefit analysis would tend to be a very data-informed analysis, which would lend to, you know, experts in gathering that data, not necessarily a stakeholder process. So my question is, you are going to have a stakeholder process so we can get feedback from everybody and understand their questions and concerns. It's a little different than the cost-benefit part of it. Who's going to select the stakeholders, and will there be a check on making sure that we have the right people at the table and the right balance?
Yeah, so certainly we tend to start by inviting as many of the stakeholders as possible in terms of the groups that we feel need to be represented. So development community, citizen, neighborhood leaders, military, school districts, and other city departments. We'll start there. We tend to list out the stakeholder group that we come up with, the committee, if you will. And then if through city manager's office and also you all, if there's pieces missing or groups missing, we would look to add them at that point. So that's generally how we develop them, to make sure we have a very diverse but appropriate stakeholder group, so we're not missing anybody. So that's kind of how we do it. If there's some in particular that you'd like us to make sure we add, we'd be happy to open it to anybody.
Yeah, I guess what I would ask is before the stakeholder process begins that communicating with my office, with Councilman Elias' office, at least, and maybe the chair of the committee that it's going to go to, just to make sure we're confident that we have the right conversation happening.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Any further questions? Do we need action on this? It's just room for Councilman Smith.
Thanks for asking about the selection process for this stakeholder group. Mike, GPA recently proposed a list of minimum guidelines for public participation. It went to discussion at my committee. I'd like to see that implemented. Would that be possible?
I'll say yes. I don't think I've seen the final document, but we have a meeting with GPA staff to incorporate, because we do a lot of stakeholder group outreach, and there's some improvements we certainly can make. So I think the answer is yes, we will incorporate that to make sure that we have as much participation as we can before we bring it back to you all.
Thank you.
But, Mayor, if I could, Councilwoman, yes, in terms of the guiding principles that we presented to your subcommittee next week, we will ensure that those are incorporated into Mike Shannon's process on the CCR.
Yeah.
The guiding principles.
Yeah, that you said that you wanted adopted by council.
Right.
Yes, we'll incorporate that and the procedures that were outlined by Jeff Cohen.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Do we need action to move it forward, or you're good to go?
I think we're looking for action.
Okay. Well, I'll entertain a motion to
Move this forward.
I have a motion and a second to move forward to item number two, to the stakeholder formation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number three.
Item number three is a briefing and discussion of a council consideration request from Councilmember Gonzalez, a request to create a report on the status of women in San Antonio, and this will be presented by Maria Villagomez.
Good afternoon, Mayor and members of this committee. On November 15, the City Council approved a resolution for women to advance women in terms of public safety, health, and economic opportunity. That same day, Councilmember Gonzalez submitted a City Council request to request the creation of a report on the status of women here in San Antonio, Texas. She provided information about other entities, universities in particular, and states that have done similar reports across the country. Specifically, what she requested is that the report includes women demographics here in San Antonio, as well as the statistics related to health and well-being, statistics related to violence and safety, including sexual assault and domestic violence reports, political participation in local government, as well as boards and commissions, and economic opportunities for women, including employment, business ownership, loans, and contracts. She also requested that the report studies the effect of race on gender to create an understanding of the outcomes of the categories that I mentioned, including health, safety, and economic opportunity for women in San Antonio. Based on research that we have done in other states like Arizona, Los Angeles, and even here in the state of Texas, there have been non-for-profit organizations as well as universities that have participated in putting together a comprehensive report on the status of women. So what we are recommending for your action today is that we're starting the process of putting together this data in coordination with our health department, economic development, and the police department. And to that effect, we have begun the gathering of the data that we have here locally within our city of San Antonio. But we are also recommending to engage one of our local universities to help us to do the actual research and develop the report. And also that this, the result of the report, be moves forward to the Community Health and Equity Committee at a subsequent meeting to provide the status and the final report. And that concludes my presentation, Mayor.
Thank you, Maria. Councilman Vibra.
Thank you, Maria. And I know Councilmember is not here, but I'm very appreciative of her moving forward with this. And I think that it's important that we have this report put together. A couple of things I'd like to offer is if we could also, if you haven't done this yet, Mayor, also, if we could make this presentation to the Mayor's Committee on the Status of Women so they can be engaged in this this process, so they know where we're going and what's going to be looking at, and get some feedback and recommendation from that commission. And then also, I know Alex and others, you all have already done a lot of work when it comes to political participation, et cetera. And I think that also engages maybe the city clerk's office with the boards and commissions, but you've already done a lot of that data and research for. And then I think this is, so when you go to the committee on health and equity, what would you be presenting there? Just the statistics?
It's actually a report, Councilwoman, right, that provides statistics and also provides the status of women in terms of safety and economic opportunity. So it's a comprehensive report. From what I've seen in other cities and other states, the report can be as short as a couple of pages and as lengthy as about 80 pages. It really gets into the details of the demographics and let's say, for example, economic opportunity. They look at different business sectors and how women are participating in those industries, and it looks at some of the challenges and opportunities for women.
So I think my whole thought on that would be is if we could just have a briefing at a B session on this report. The report given at a B session, so we could all be there hearing it together at that one time. So instead of going through multiple processes,
okay,
that's my recommendation, Mayor. I would move for approval of the
The process.
The process of this report and the data that points that you would recognize that have been in this DCR and that this report would be presented to me at a B session.
Thank you, Councilman Bierger. Councilman Samuel.
I concur with the recommendation as well. I signed on to the CCR as well, so I'm supportive of it. Thank you, Lydia. What timeline are you looking at?
We anticipate to have a report in March. We would be engaging, as I mentioned, one of the local universities, so that will give us about, beginning with the calendar here, about 60 days to develop the report.
Thank you. I agree. I think this is something that the full council should review once it's ready.
Thank you, Councilman. Obviously, supportive. This will be a creation of a report on the status of women. I'm just wondering why the Commission on the Status of Women is not playing a more prominent role in the formation of it, either as a source of data or a body to help steer it or something. Go ahead, Councilwoman.
Mayor, if I may, great point. And I'm thinking maybe this could be the springboard for something that we do maybe every 2 years or every 3 years through the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. Have this be our first, yes, to update a report every 2 years or every 3 years. Starting now. So that's a
I think that sounds great. I mean, I guess my point is the commission has ebbed and flowed in terms of the work that they've been able to do. I know they do the launch every year, but there's not really anything that they can really sink their teeth into. Lately, this could be the start of that, this report and its update and so forth. Cheryl?
Just to add that Kate Ledger-Provat here from my office, staffs and works with them, I think along with Lisa from your office, Mayor. We'll certainly engage with them. We'll talk with them about this. We plan to work with them and do something different than the usual luncheon that we've done on International Women's Day. We're planning another more extensive event, and they're going to help us a bit with that for this year. So we'll certainly talk with them and see what they'll be able to do to help us in pulling this together. They will rely on our staff to pull the data together anyway. They're an advisory group, speaking more and advising the council on at a policy level. So we'll go ahead and engage with the university, gather the data, but work with them.
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah, I think I'd be delighted in that. Any further questions? There's a motion and a second for moving forward on item number 3. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much for your
Just one other issue. On the last item where we talked about the public information process, the guiding principles, Jeff is right on top of this, and it's already scheduled for council adoption next week on the A session before the end of the calendar year. So the stakeholder and public information, additional guiding principles for our public information process are on the agenda for next week.
All right. Item number 4.
Item number 4 is the consideration of applicants to the VIA Metropolitan Transit Authority. And Mayor and Council, there are 3 slots available for consideration that are up. One of them was vacated by Brian Diller. The other 2 folks are interested in reappointment. They are Amanda Merck and Ezra Johnson. These are 2-year terms. If you look under tab 4, you will see that the total composition of this board is 11 members, and that's county and city appointees. 5 are just city appointees. So we received 38 applications, and because this is, again, unprecedented, these are coming to you for your consideration and so that you can filter through them and then recommend finalists that will come before the Governance Committee meeting in January for interview.
Great. Okay. So we are now going to move into an executive session. But before we do, let me make clear, we'll come back out with an announcement or action about a list of finalists. To clarify, Andy, we have two positions that would be eligible for reappointment. The way the agenda has been posted, if the body agrees, the body wants to reappoint those today, we could do that and have the remaining slot available for the interview in January. Could we do that?
That's correct.
Okay. That's an option for us. We may deliberate and decide we want to do that and then have one open for interview. But, again, all three are up for consideration. So we'll move into executive session and discuss all of that as well as a finalist, at least for one of the positions. All right, the time is now 12 p.m. on this fifth day of December 2018, pursuant to the authority granted by Chapter 5.1 of the Texas Government Code, DTCS, the Texas Open Meetings Act, Governance Council Committee, will now recess in executive session to discuss, deliberate the appointment and evaluation of duties of the city clerk, and discuss legal issues related pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074, personnel matters in Texas Government Code Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. Deliberate the appointment of VIA board members pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074, personnel matters.